Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am excited that you are here to join me, your host, as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So tonight we're going to discuss our hashtag moment, and the hashtag for the month of June is Faith to Move. So that's faith, the number two, and move. We'll continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. Then we'll go into our segment titled Let's Be Real, where I'll be making my weekly confession. And my confession tonight is I'm celebrating the small things. Then we'll go into our main discussion of the importance of not giving up when you face challenges, and we'll end the show with a dose of spiritual wellness and then final greetings. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show, which includes Faith to Move, Let's Be Real, our hashtag moment, Wellness and Faith, or anything else that really resonates with you throughout the show. Just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Remember that you are welcome to call into the show with any questions or comments by dialing 347-850-1154. If you need that number again, you can just look at the show website, and you can get that number at any time. So let's go right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic related to my monthly blog, because I am a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center's blog, which is found at radiantsunshine.org. From this, we then post on social media about it as well. So I encourage you all to radiantsunshine.org to check it out. That new blog titled Faith to Move will be coming out within the next couple of days. So let's talk about it. In order to be well spiritually, you must have faith to move. So let's talk about what happens when we allow our fear to stagnate us. When we become overwhelmed with fear, we actually prevent ourselves from reaping the fruit of our hard work and all the effort that we have put into in order to reach our goals. When we allow fear in order to hold us back and we allow fear to overcome us, we actually don't get to experience the joy that comes from conquering every single obstacle that stood before us. Fear also is very deceiving, because fear will allow you to believe something that is really not completely true. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, that we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. And even though in that particular passage, immediately prior to that scripture, Paul is talking about being able to be grateful and to be thankful in all circumstances, whether you are in a circumstance of abundance or if you are in a circumstance of lack, it's talking about still having the strength to still rejoice, still having the strength to still be thankful. But the reality is that God's strength is there to enable us in any moment that we need to tap into his strength in order to overcome any weakness or any obstacle that stands in our way. So when we believe the lie of fear that we can't do something, or when we believe fear that tells us that we're not good enough, we are doubting the strength of God to be able to manifest itself in our lives in order for us to be victorious and to overcome any obstacle that stands in our way. Fear never gives you the complete truth. Even if there is an obstacle that stands in front of you, and yes, fear will tell you that it's hard. Yes, fear will tell you that you can't do it. But see, that's where fear becomes a lie. Because even though the challenge is hard, that's why it's called a challenge, even though it's going to require a whole lot of work, it does not mean that you can't do it. It just means that it's going to require extra effort extra faith on your behalf in order to keep pushing forward in spite of whatever obstacles may be in your way. And the thing about faith is that faith really isn't faith if you can see all the steps worked out before you. If you have a particular goal in mind and you see every single step that's going to take in order to get there, you see every single obstacle and you have all the answers to all the obstacles, and so you're just going to breeze through it and just go through steps through 100, that's not faith. It's not faith at all, actually. And it would be so awesome and amazing if our lives were like that, where we would be able to see every single thing that would occur before it happens. But the reality is that we are limited in our knowledge and our understanding. God is the only one who has the ability to be able to see the past, present, and future at the same time. We don't have that ability. We can know our past and we are aware of our present, but when it comes to our future, our vision is clouded and is very limited. So when we allow fear to take over our minds, then we allow fear to then affect our actions. We are actually believing lies, and we're not allowing our faith to be activated. Real faith is not faith until it's tried. Real faith is not faith until you go through something hard. Faith is not really faith until you're told that you can't do it, until something happens that pushes you 10 steps back after you just took, you know, 5 steps forward. Faith is really faith when it is tried. And when you have everything in front of you that's telling you it can't happen, faith is what destroys those walls of fear. Faith is what destroys obstacles. Faith is what overcomes mountains. Faith is what builds up confidence. Faith is what destroys anything in your life that is a barrier to the goals, the dreams, the visions that you have for your life. And those can be goals financially or spiritually, emotional goals, mental goals, goals with various relationships that you have with friends or families. At the end of the day, faith is what's going to help you to keep moving forward. So you have to have faith, because faith is what's going to strengthen you. Faith is going to mature you, and faith is going to expand you. In order to overcome the obstacles that stand in your way, no matter what type of obstacles they are, you have to be expanded beyond your current capacity of what you believe. You have to be matured beyond your current capacity of what you believe you are capable of. You have to be strengthened beyond the previous weaknesses that you think will dictate your future failure because they were past failures. No, you have to have faith in order to move past all of that and in order to accomplish everything that you want to accomplish. So now let's talk about the practical application of living out this hashtag faith to move. One of the biggest things that I'm a proponent of is having declarations. And so simply make a declaration about faith and say, you know what, I'm going to, and every time that I face a conversation or I face a situation or a problem or even my own internal dialogue, my response to that is going to be, my faith will help me to move. So let's say you have a conversation with a well-meaning friend who you're discussing your goals with, and they're like, girl, you can't do that, or man, you crazy trying to do that. Your response should be, but my faith is going to help me to move. My faith will help me to accomplish it. And even writing down your goals and your visions is so important to keep that in front of you. And each time you see those goals and those visions, it's to be able to say, my faith will help me to move towards seeing this happen. And even writing down scriptures, going ahead and going through the Bible and picking out scriptures about faith and memorizing those scriptures and even reciting those scriptures throughout the day and reading those scriptures before you go to bed at night when you first wake up in the morning. These are practical things that we can do in order to have faith that strengthens, matures, and expands us. And, of course, you know, spending that time with God in prayer and being involved in a faith community that really strengthens your knowledge of God and your knowledge of the Word of God is going to be important as well. And also, another practical thing that we can do is to surround ourselves with people who are going to strengthen our faith as well. Surround yourself with people who are going to believe just like you believe and who also have the ability to be able to believe that they can overcome things in their lives as well. You don't want your closest friends to be people who doubt that you can overcome your circumstances or even doubt their own ability to overcome various circumstances in their life. So when it comes to being spiritually well, we can't afford to be stagnated by fear. We must have faith. So now let's go into our next type segment, titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a segment in the show where I strongly encourage you to interact with me live while we discuss the various reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. You can call into the show by dialing 347-850-1154 and join the discussion regarding the miracle of the New Testament where Jesus heals two people who were possessed with demons. Now, let me give this disclaimer. We are well aware that we have people from various backgrounds and various beliefs who listen into the show. And so this discussion that we are going to have may make you a little uncomfortable. However, this discussion is based upon an account that is found in the Bible of Jesus healing two people who were possessed with demons. Not everyone is comfortable with the conversations concerning spiritual warfare. Not everyone feels confident to even say that spiritual warfare exists, and that is definitely okay. I'm not here to force you to believe something you don't believe, but what I am here to do is to provide you with information that is biblically sound and that is documented, and then from there to give you the opportunity to choose whether you're going to believe it or not, whether this is something that you're going to accept or not. The title of the segment is To Believe or Not to Believe, so at the end of the day, you make that final choice. So again, the number to call into the show is 347-850-1154, and feel free to post on social media with the hashtags wellness and faith, to believe or not to believe, faith to move, or anything else that resonates with you during the show. And just remember to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter. So the account of Jesus healing two people who were possessed with demons can be found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 28 through 34. So let's talk about the main players. We have Jesus, we have two people who were possessed, we have a herd of pigs, and then we have the owners of the pigs. So, of course, that's an interesting group of people to have where we're setting up this miracle that's getting ready to take place. And so what occurs is that Jesus had just got done actually performing another miracle, and as he's going about his business, he encounters these two people who actually come and they address him, asking if Jesus is going to come to torment them. And what I found really interesting about this account is that the demons that were in these two people immediately recognized who Jesus was, and they immediately recognized the power that Jesus possessed. And even though they're coming to, you know, ask this question of Jesus, in a sense, it's like they're revealing their fear as well, because they know that Jesus has the power to be able to remove them from actually dwelling in the persons and taking over these two people's lives. And so as a result, you know, they're having this conversation with Jesus, and they actually say to him, like, hey, if you're going to cast us out of these two individuals, then at least put us into the pigs. One of the things that when you're studying spiritual warfare, and we won't go too deep into that tonight, but when you're studying spiritual warfare, you'll see that spirits need a body in order to come and do what they want to do here on the earth. And so they're going to look for a temple or some type of residence that they can abide in order to go and fulfill the work that they're doing. So these two particular spirits had chosen these two people, individuals that they were going to reside in order to go and do what they did. And as the demons were residing in these two individuals, they actually caused these individuals to behave in very violent and tormenting ways where people were afraid of them. People would go nowhere near them because of how these demons caused the two people to react. So as they're talking to Jesus, they tell him, like, okay, if you're going to cast us out of these two beings, these two people, then at least let us go into the herd of pigs. And Jesus go to the honor their request, and he cast them out of the two individuals. The two individuals are now immediately healed, and they're no longer held captive to these spirits that had taken over their lives. But now, as a result of the demons going to the pigs are tormented, and they actually go and kill themselves and drown into the lake that was nearby. Now, the owners of the pigs were nearby, and they became very upset when this happened. And so they went into the town, and they began to tell everyone about what had occurred and how Jesus had cast out these two demons from two people and then subsequently allowed the demons to go into the pigs. Now, with, again, going back into this whole discussion about how comfortable you may feel with dealing with spiritual warfare, this is a miracle in the New Testament that is probably very hard to believe and to accept if you don't believe in spiritual warfare and if you don't believe that demons or spirits exist, or even if you don't believe that spirits exist for evil purposes. Like, I know there's some individuals who believe that after someone dies that their spirit can come and still dwell here on the earth, or, you know, they would come and visit people. So they only see the spirits as a positive thing where people are able to connect with their loved ones. It's like, but if you go and you study spiritual warfare, you will understand that there's so much more to spirits and what their purpose is and how we have to be conscious of spirits that surround us that are not of God. And with knowing that any spirit that is not of God that is coming to interact with us or even tries to even dwell on the inside of us, is that we have to be conscious of that to guard ourselves spiritually and to put ourselves in a position to not be held captive by those spirits. Because if we are held captive by evil spirits, then we're going to react and behave in ways that is not healthy for us, and we're going to be tormented, and we're not going to have the peace and the joy that comes with not being possessed with evil spirits and instead being filled with the indwelling of the Spirit of God. So I pose this question to you. Do you believe that this miracle exists? I most certainly do believe that this miracle occurred. I definitely believe that spiritual warfare is very real. I have seen instances of spiritual warfare actually play out in several circumstances, so I definitely believe that this miracle exists, and I definitely believe in the importance of being aware of spiritual warfare and being equipped to be able to handle that as well. So what about you? You can call in with questions or comments. You can call in live by dialing the number for the show, which is 347-850-1154, or you can even contact me on social media as well. All right, so let's go into our next segment, which is titled Let's Be Real. So this is a segment of the show where I make weekly confessions. I am transparent about my mistakes, my shortcomings, but also areas where I have grown in and I have made progress and where I have been successful. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession for this week is that I am celebrating the small things. Now, this is probably something that some people will listen to and just say, what? That's not something scandalous or something major. But for me, it really is. So I'm the type of person where I get so focused on the bigger goals and the bigger vision that I have, where I'm not truly content or happy until I reach that final huge, big goal. And so within the past several months, one of the things that I've been very intentional about is celebrating the small things that occurred that is moving me closer to the bigger goals that I have. And the importance that I found in being able to celebrate the small things is, one, acknowledging that those small achievements that I've made are all steps of getting me closer to the bigger goal. And that also by making those small steps is that it shows my commitment to whatever my goal is and whatever it is that I'm trying to achieve. Now, of course, I'm not perfect. And, you know, there's some times where I may, you know, fall back or not achieve every single thing within a time frame that I have planned for it. But that's the thing, is that I have to be realistic and honest in what I'm doing and what I'm doing well and what I need to improve in. And when you're a person where you constantly self-reflect and you're constantly reviewing and your own journey and your own process and where you are, you can get so caught up of where you need to be where you don't acknowledge the fact that you're not even where you used to be. A few months ago, a few weeks ago, I saw this post by Real Talk Kim Pottier, where she had this post on her Instagram page talking about how her growth game is strong, and that if you're judging her or making a statement about you're making a statement about who she is based upon who you know she was a year ago or a month ago or even a day ago, then your assumption is so off because her growth game it's so strong. And I really like that post. I actually posted it on the slideshow here for the show as well. It's just that we have to be honest about how we grow and how we achieve even small things towards our larger goals. And the importance of doing that also comes from the fact that that increases your motivation to keep going. When you celebrate the small things, then you feel so much more accomplished. And you're just like, wow, like, if I did A, then I can do B. And now if I did A and B, now I know I can do C and D and so forth and so on. So I am choosing to continue to celebrate the small things because I know the small things are getting me to my larger goals. So if you follow me on my other, like, social media accounts, either on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, you will see that I'm constantly posting about everything that happens concerning my book or about my business, you know, because I want people to be able to see and celebrate with me as well. But I also want to be able to document what I am doing in this journey so that I can encourage someone else as well. And some people may look at the post and say, like, wow, there she is, this posting again, but I can't be worried about that. I can't be worried about what other people misinterpret about my success or about my journey. So, you know, when anything happens, I'm going to go and post with it. Now, of course, I don't, you know, disclose some things that don't need to be disclosed. You know, definitely use wisdom and discernment in that. But when it comes to a success and when it's appropriate and when it is the right time, I definitely share everything that's going on because I'm excited that I've been able to get to this point and I'm excited that I'm learning to celebrate even the small things as well, you know, because I also want to make sure that I am living out Philippians 4:13 as well. You know, when you look at the context of Philippians 4:13, Paul is talking about how he is able to be thankful when he has a lot and when he doesn't have a lot, when things are going great and when things are not going great. And the last thing that I want to do is to not be grateful for what God is doing in my life right now. Of course, I have dreams and goals and visions that I'm reaching for that is so much larger than where I am right now. It's so much greater than what I have ever experienced in my entire life. And it's so much more to it, to what I can even imagine when it actually takes place and manifests in my life. But I don't want to sell myself short and be so caught up in getting there that I don't appreciate the journey and the process of getting to where I need to go and celebrating those small achievements along the way. So I encourage you to do the same and to begin the process, if you haven't already, of celebrating the small things. Zechariah 4, chapter 10, and this is the New Living Translation, says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." That's just the first part of the verse. Again, the first part of Zechariah 4 and 10 in the New Living Translation, it says, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin." So just know that no matter where you are, no matter where you're trying to go, that there is something to celebrate and to rejoice, even in the small things that you are doing right now, because those small things are going to turn to something much greater. And you'll be able to not only encourage your own self and be able to see how the strength of God was being manifest in your life, but you'll also be able to be encouraged to someone else who is now coming along that same journey and let them know, like, hey, if I did it, you can do it too. One of the favorite quotes that I have even related to that is that the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. So celebrate the one step. Celebrate the second step. Celebrate the third step. And most definitely we know you're going to celebrate the millionth step or the millionth mile. But let's start today and let's start celebrating and let's continue to celebrate every small step that we make. So we're going to go ahead and take a brief break, commercial break, for our wellness tip from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner and founder of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center. And after this message, I'll be right back.
Welcome to our next wellness moment. Today's wellness tip is taking a walk. Some things that are so simple but so refreshing to start a day, to end the evening, to spend time with friends. Something as simple as taking a walk with each other can help do a lot of things to make sure that your emotional health, but also your physical health and wellness is taken care of. So when I say take a walk, this is something that you can consider for an exercise or you consider for leisure and emotional health. So for me, I do this about 3 to 5 times a week where, especially, when it's not so cold outside because I'm so not into this heavy snow or weather when it's extremely cold. But when it's not so cold outside, I like to take walks, and sometimes very long walks. But I know that it helps me to rejuvenate, and it's also improving my actual physical health. So when it comes to wellness, one of the things or one of the tips for today is take a walk, about 20 minutes a day if you can. 30 minutes is even better, but it actually will help you to create such things as physical wellness, where you are thinking about your sex drive, your health habits. It decreases things like the risk of breast cancer, diabetes, and also helps with pain control. So even if it's just 20 minutes, go ahead and get out there and take a walk. Everyone be well.
Right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that we mentioned throughout the show, and you can do this before, during, and even after the show as well. Remember, you can tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So I look forward to hearing from each and every one of you. So let's go into our main discussion on tonight. And tonight I want to have a discussion about not giving up when you face challenges. It can be difficult to endure hardship after hardship, but your endurance will be rewarded if you don't give up. So what makes it easy to give up? Challenges, things that happen to us that we don't expect. Things that keep happening to push us back down after we've gotten back up. Disappointments, frustrations, feeling betrayed, being hurt, having someone to not care about us, feeling like we're all alone and not having support. And the list can go on and on and on about all the things that then makes it easy for us to get up, even if we started off having this excitement or having this determination to be able to keep pushing forward no matter what obstacles that we face. The truth of the matter is that when all you're facing is obstacles and it doesn't seem like you are experiencing any success or you're not making any progress, it can be so easy to give up. And the thing about giving up is that when you've given all that you can, you feel like you don't have anything else to give. When you feel like you're at the end of the rope and you tie the knot and then the knot broke and now you're hanging on by a thread, it can be so easy to just finally be like, you know what, I'm giving up, I'm done with all of this. And in talking about this, I don't want to say that in a way where when you want to give up that makes you weak or that makes you a bad person or it means that you're not strong enough. I don't want to come from that angle, especially being a person that has endured a lot, you know, with, you know, growing up even as a child, as a teenager, and an adult. You know, my life is not perfect at all. Definitely, I'm very familiar with challenges and very familiar with obstacles and things that go wrong. And there were some things that occurred in my life that were beyond my control, and there are some things that occurred that was a direct consequence of making bad choices. But at the end of the day, I want everyone to know that really when you give up is that you really miss out on the joy of knowing that you really do have the strength to make it. Each and every single one of us, we have the capacity to be able to overcome whatever obstacles are in our lives. However, we need different support systems around us in order to reveal that strength, in order to strengthen the things within us that maybe are a little weak. And it's weak because it's been tested. It's not weak because there's something wrong with us. There's some parts of us that may be weak because we've constantly been beat down in one particular area. You know, when you think about even a mountain, you know, as the water continues to rain down from the sky or if it's anywhere near, you know, a lake or any body of water, any form of precipitation, those little bitty raindrops, those little pieces of water, after years and years and years of beating upon that mountain, it will begin to erode away some of the rock. So here it is, if you can look at mountains and you can see how erosion takes place in these big, humongous, strong mountains, then of course we should be able to have this same understanding about what happens with us when we're constantly eroded by one particular thing in the same area. You know, for example, let's say if you're trying to build up your self-confidence and the only thing that you have experienced throughout your life is people telling you how bad you are and how you're not pretty enough and you're not small enough, or you're not tall enough, or, you know, there's something wrong with this particular part of your body, or, you know, there's something wrong with this, there's something wrong with that. And all you've been told is how inadequate you are physically. It's going to be really hard to have self-confidence in the midst of that. And so now if you grow up with low self-esteem, you having low self-esteem is not because there was something innately wrong with you. You have low self-esteem because you were constantly eroded with negative thoughts and negative statements concerning your image. And so you can use that analogy towards anything in your life that has constantly been eroded by something that's negative. And so that's what makes us then be in a position to have a mind fight, like, you know what, I can't do anything else, I'm not going to keep pushing forward. But the truth of the matter is that you're losing out on everything else that you have worked so hard for in your life. I mean, even if you're a person who has always been told something negative about who you are and where you come from and what you can't do, the fact that you still made it past those stages in your life means that you have the capacity to be able to overcome all of that. Even if you have some hurt and you have some pain and you have some things you need to work through, the fact that you survived speaks volumes about who you are. And so it's so important that you now concern or surround yourself, rather, with individuals and with people and with places and with support systems that are going now to speak to the positive aspects of your survival and of your strength, and to bring out things in you that you never thought really existed, because no one else ever supported that type of growth in your life. Now, when you're facing challenges, the reality of it, again, is that it's going to be some hard times, but you want to be mindful of how you frame your challenges. And we look at our challenges as not being able or not being something that we cannot overcome, then this particular challenge that you have in your life is going to be something that you can't overcome. You know, let's say if you're dealing with financial issues right now and financial stress, there is no stress like financial stress. I say financial stress and stress that comes from having an illness is just really, really, really difficult to deal with. And so are other things too, but I just know, just, you know, with financial stress, there's a lot of things that can happen from financial stress. You can have physical stress and emotional stress and mental stress as well. But, you know, if you're in a situation where financially things just don't seem to be working out, it can be so easy to give up in that area too and say, well, you know what, I'm never going to be able to improve my credit. I'm never going to be able to build up a savings. I'm never going to be able to get to the point where I'm making enough money to be able to pay my bills and then do something extra and also have a savings and be able to take care of my family. But the thing about it is that if you give up and you stop working at it, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like, okay, you keep having these challenges where, you know, you can't seem to get ahead financially, and then you give up and you stop putting in all the effort that you were putting in to try to, you know, get a hold of what was going on financially. And so now, as a result of giving up and not putting in that extra work you were putting in, now things just spiral out of control and get even worse. So then you're like, okay, I really can't get out of this. See, things just got worse. But things got even more worse because you gave up. Now, even if you've been trying for years and years and years, and it seems like it won't ever get better, if you keep putting in the work, then you definitely will see things improve. And things don't always improve overnight. Sometimes it takes months and weeks and years for us to be able to see improvement in your life. But if you keep putting in the due diligence and if you keep being creative and looking for ways around a solution, I promise you that you will overcome it. And this is something that I've had to do even in my own life as well. I've definitely had more than enough experiences where I have definitely given up. You know, it's just, I got tired of always having things go wrong. It seemed like things were always going wrong. I got so tired of always having obstacles and always having things that just kept knocking me down. Like when I would make 5 steps forward, I get knocked back down 10 steps back. And it was so frustrating. And so I've definitely been there. But I can tell you is that when I did give up in those moments and I stopped trying, is that things didn't get any better. Things actually got worse. And so I got tired of things being where they were. I got tired of living in that cycle of just being frustrated and feeling like I can't reach my goals. And I decided to start trying to be creative and to find ways around these obstacles that I didn't seem to be able to overcome. And I can tell you that I'm so much further along now where I am on my journey with reaching my goals than I was several years ago. And so I know that if I can do it, you all can definitely do it too, because the same strength that God gave me to be overcome, the same strategies that God has given me to be able to be creative, to find another way around the problems that I, you know, was and even still am experiencing, I know that God will do the same thing for you. So don't give up. Despite what your situation looks like, despite how bad it's been, despite how long it's been since things were good in your life, or even if you're a person where your life has just been full of so much trauma and so much pain and just so many challenges, it's just to know that your life doesn't have to continue to be that way. And the support systems that we need is going to vary from person to person. You may be someone where you need to go to professional counseling in order to get that support to be able to overcome those different issues that keep plaguing your life. And there's nothing wrong with going to professional counseling to get support. Even, you know, if you're a person of faith, there are definitely people of faith who are practicing who can be able to combine the practical aspect of helping you to be able to overcome whatever barriers you have in your life, and then complement that with the spiritual principles and biblical principles as well. So definitely don't use your faith or your spirituality as a reason to not pursue professional help, because there are counselors who are licensed professionals who are also able to use spiritual and biblical principles to assist you in your journey as well. And for those of us that, you know, may be seeking other support systems as well in conjunction with spiritual counseling, or maybe you've done counseling before or you feel that you don't need that at this time, you want to surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you to be the best that you can be, and that includes even strengthening you when you are weak and strengthening you when things are tough. You know, there's some family members that you may not be able to spend time with because they are actually perpetuating this frustration that causes you to want to give up. And that may be parents, it may be siblings or cousins or, you know, people that we spent our whole life with, and they knew us from the time that we were running around in diapers. But at the same token, you have to be so focused on you and so focused on your hard work paying off that there's some people you just have to let go of, even with friends that you may have known for years, or, you know, even some business relationships. You know, that you want to evaluate everything that you have surrounding you right now and see if these individuals, if these groups, if these places that you're going to and you're spending time with, if they are encouraging you to build up your strength and to build up your endurance so that you would keep pushing towards your goals, or if they're encouraging you to be stuck in your cycle of frustration and your cycle of feeling like you can't move on. It's so important that you put yourself in the right environment to be able to thrive. You know, even when you look at plants, for instance, if you want a plant to survive or a tree, you have to plant it in soil that is going to be fruitful. You have to plant it in soil that's going to provide the nutrients in order to encourage the growth of the seeds and for the seeds to be able to sprout out and for the roots to spread and to provide this strong base for the plant or for the tree to now continue to grow upward. And even though you have to plant the seeds in something dark and it's hidden, and for a while it doesn't seem like it's paying off, eventually as you continue to nurture and toil the ground, as you continue to toil the soil, as you water it and it gets sunlight, the growth is going to pay off. And that's how it is with our lives as well. In our dark times, we are simply being planted. Our roots are being established so they can spread out, so then we can now sprout up and be able to produce the fruit of our hard work and be able to produce the reward of everything that we have gone through. So don't give up in the midst of the challenges. Don't give up in the midst of the dark times, and know that you can overcome anything that you are going through. So now let's go into our dose of spiritual wellness. To recap the show, I always give a dose of spiritual wellness, and usually I provide several tips during the segment, but tonight I want to keep it simple, and your single dose of spiritual wellness is don't give up. Remember why you started this journey, and let that be your motivation and your driving force when things get hard. And no matter what happens in your life, no matter how difficult it gets, how challenging it may be, don't give up, because you will reach the place that you are trying to go. Well, that is all that I have for you this evening. As always, I enjoy spending this time with each and one of you, and I look forward to seeing you next Monday at 7 p.m. In order to listen to the show live, you want to log on to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness, and you will be connected to the show. Remember, you can interact with me online before and after the show, and even during the show as well, on social media with the various hashtags that you hear during the show. So that's Wellness and Faith, hashtag Movement, Let's Be Real, Faith to Move, or anything else that you hear that really resonates with you. And you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by tagging me at Weary Consult. You can also find me on Periscope as well at the same handle, at Weary Consult. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my website, sherryweary.com. That's sherryweary.com. Also, be sure to check out the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which is found at radiantsunshine.org. I guest blog there, and you can find my blog there. My new blog, Safe to Move, will be coming out in a couple of days. And you can also find tons of helpful wellness tips to help you to be able to strengthen and to grow and to become the person that you want to be. While you're at RadiantSunshine.org, you also want to check out information about the new Women's Enrichment Community that the RS Counseling and Wellness Center will be launching in a few weeks, so feel free to go ahead and sign up today. It's going to be an awesome community, tons of information. The level of expertise that you're going to receive is just going to be so awesome, and definitely it's not compared with the price that you're paying. The price that you're paying is such a great deal for what you're going to get as a member of this community. Speaking of the RS Women Enrichment Community, the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, which hosts the Enrichment Community, is currently in the running for the FedEx Small Business Grant, and we need your vote. So go to smallbusinessgrant.fedex.com to be able to cast your vote for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center. Again, that's smallbusinessgrant.fedex.com. And you want to search for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center and go ahead and get our vote. We are currently in the process of securing this grant because we want to be able to offer the RS Women Enrichment Community membership for free to women who are victims of domestic violence and to women who may be experiencing economic hardship as a result of being a victim of domestic violence, or they may be unemployed or they had some other extenuating circumstance where they cannot financially afford to take advantage of this awesome opportunity that they need to be a part of. So by simply just taking just a few seconds out of your time, it only takes about 10 seconds to actually vote, you can go and greatly impact and change the lives of these women who are looking for someone to just reach out and to give them the support that they need as they go to achieve and accomplish all their goals. So again, go to smallbusinessgrant.fedex.com. You can vote once per day, every single day, starting today through June 13th, so definitely go ahead and cast your votes. Be sure to tune in on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. for the lunch date, a social wellness break with Sharia Farmer, to receive tips on having healthy relationships. And lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format on my website at sherryweary.com. It's also available on amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. Walking Through the Pain is also the official book of the 2016 Paradigm Shift Women's Conference, which will be taking place here in Philadelphia, PA, September 17, 2016. You can go to patricemyrickministries.com for more information about the conference and to register. Again, that's Patrice Myrick Ministries. That's PatriceMyrickMinistries.com, and you can get more information about how to register and even booking information as well. Charlene Giles is the official travel agent for the conference as well, so she can help you to be able to get deals if you're traveling from out of state. Now, today through June 7, there is a discount going on for the conference where you can register for the conference at the discounted rate of $75. So you want to make sure that you take advantage of that as well. So that is all that I have for you all tonight. Until we meet again, and as always, my prayer for you is that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.